Our first reading comes from Revelations, beginning with the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of the water. This is the word of the Lord." The epistle comes from Romans, 3rd chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson from John. So happy Reformation Sunday to everyone. This is the Sunday that we thank God for Martin Luther and the other early Lutheran reformers. For Luther brought back the light of the truth to the gospel. The theme for today's message is, God's word is our great heritage. Scripture alone, one of Luther's sayings, is part of our heritage. Considering all that's going on in the world around us, we're gathered here for the special service as Lutheran Christians under the theme of God is our great heritage. Our gospel lesson can also be entitled Jesus' Reformation Words. How are these words fitting for Jesus' day, Martin Luther's day, and our day? In today's gospel, Jesus is speaking to believing Jews. He tells them, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." That means stay in it. Don't stray from it. In the beginning of John's gospel, he writes in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That Word, Jesus, the very Word in flesh. His Jewish audience had heard the law and the prophets and the books of Moses their entire lives. Now they're literally seen standing in front of them, the fulfillment of the entire, what we call, the Old Testament. And he says, "Abide in what I say and do, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." In other words, forgiveness and salvation are not based on our works or our effort. You'd think that would be good news to Jesus' audience, but their idea of a Messiah was not in line with who Jesus was. They wanted a political warrior Messiah, and they say, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free?" Do they forget the 400 years in Egypt? How do you forget 400 years of your history? And then when God had to break into Egypt and a massive jailbreak, bring his people out of Egypt to the promised land in a city you've never been slaves before. Now, they're not formally slaves during Jesus' time, but they're under the authority of Rome. What Rome said, you did. Well, if somebody has the power to tell you what you're going to do, you're kind of a slave, aren't you? Let's look at, we are the descendants of Abraham. They looked at salvation that was based on their family tree. If you had Abraham in your family tree, you were automatically in. So if you were Jewish, heaven was automatically yours. That's why they were looking for a political Messiah. They forgot the Messiah was to deliver them from sin, death, and the devil. And that's all because they looked at, I'm a descendant of Abraham. I've got it covered. Jesus was telling them that they're not slaves to any earthly power, but they're enslaved by sin. Jesus is saying that he's the only true way to forgiveness, life, and salvation. With this time being Reformation Sunday, we look at Jesus' Reformation words. The Jews of Jesus' day need to rethink their idea of what the Messiah was going to be, that the Messiah would free them from slavery to sin, death, and the devil. During Luther's time, it was time for a reformation. The Catholic Church had fallen into the same trap of the Jews of Jesus' day. Luther was ordained a priest in 1507. But by that time, the gospel of the church had been obscured. One could contribute to his own salvation. One had to contribute to his own salvation by the right prayers, the right number of times, or paying enough money for an indulgence. An indulgence was a piece of paper you bought that granted forgiveness of sins. And they had a really sweet racket going. You could buy one for a future sin you were going to commit. So if I'm going to go rob somebody, I can buy an indulgence that says, I'm already forgiven for it. They also had, commanded by the Catholic Church, that you could buy indulgences to reduce your time in purgatory. Purgatory, for those who don't know, is the temporary suffering place that Catholics believe we go to when we die. That we go to this temporary suffering place to pay for all the sins that you committed from your baptism forward. Now, I got a question. Someday I'm going to ask a Catholic priest this one. At a funeral, what does he say to the deceased family? Well, don't worry, your loved one is now being tortured in purgatory. Boy, those are comforting words, aren't they? Rather than what the gospel says, that immediately we are in the bosom of Abraham at Jesus' side. Work righteousness tortured Luther. To atone for sins, he whipped himself, he slept on a cold stone floor, and he went deeper into despair, always wondering, am I good enough for God? Then Luther returned to Scripture, and he found a key verse for him from Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift from God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. Or from Romans 3, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a substitute by his blood to be received by faith. With these and other verses, Luther came to the understanding that salvation was found only in Jesus Christ. It was only found because of the fact that Christ had died on the cross that anyone is saved. Luther preached it from the pulpit. He preached it at Wittenberg University where he taught, and he wrote about it. Then he really got the Catholic Church going when he put on the church door, which was the community bulletin board at the time. So if you want to put up a notice, you go to the church and nail it into the church door. I'm kind of glad we've gotten rid of that one. But he put up 95 theses or 95 statements, points of contention he had with the Catholic Church. His goal was always to reform the Catholic Church, not start another church body, and certainly not start a church body that took his name. But Pope Leo X would have none of it, and asked Luther, or commanded that Luther appear before a cardinal, which Luther refused to do. So by 1520, Pope Leo X gave Luther an ultimatum. Either you recant of your sins within 60 days, or you can be branded a heretic. Now that had the consequence that the Holy Roman Emperor could declare Luther an outlaw, which would then make it legal for anyone to kill Luther. But he continued to preach and teach. The Reformation of Jesus' words in our gospel lesson were true in Jesus' day. As if the Catholic Church said to Luther, "We are under the papacy, have never been slaves to anyone. How can you, a little German monk, say that we're slaves to sin, and when we have this nice little system to work out our salvation?" Luther was bold enough to proclaim that only through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that we're saved by our sins and given the assurance of eternal life. And by abiding in the word of Christ, would the church be able to remain steadfast in the truth of Jesus Christ crucified for the sins of the world. Reformation Sunday 2023. We thank God that Luther brought the church, brought the cross back to the central doctrine of the church. The gospel words of Jesus were not just meant for the Jews of Jesus' day or the people of Luther's day, but they're also meant for you and I. The central message: if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth, everything we believe, centers on Jesus Christ crucified for us. It centers on the word of God itself. Now, unfortunately, since the days of Luther, some Lutheran bodies like the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, have strayed from the truth. And there's other Lutheran bodies that have followed suit. There are other Lutheran bodies that we are in fellowship with because we teach the same thing. But basically, these other Lutheran bodies teach, live the best you can, and they embrace alternative lifestyles. They bow to the whims of a sinful world instead of holding fast to the word of God. Oh, they might dust off their catechism today, sing A Mighty Fortress, but they neglect God's word. Like the Jews, they put their hope and salvation in the fact that they have the Lutheran pedigree. For them, God's word is no longer a great heritage. It's merely a part of their past. And now they're busy writing their own word for their own itching ears, words that will save no one and only end up condemning people for eternity. The Reformation words of Jesus must be the part of every sermon everywhere. What are we to do? Well, the Reformation did not end 500 years ago. We're called to a life of reformation all the time. We're called to a life of confessing our sins and receiving the forgiveness of sins. We are called to put all of our focus on Jesus Christ, not on ourselves or works, words, or emotions, or try to conform to the latest societal trend. Not to put our hope in the fact that we were baptized, confirmed, and therefore being Lutheran, we automatically have a way into heaven. You don't know how many times at a funeral I've had for an elderly person who hasn't darkened the doorstep of a church for 50 years, and the family says, "But he was baptized and confirmed." Like I'm supposed to say, "Oh, no problem, they're in." But give thanks to God for Jesus Christ. Give thanks for the words that he gave to the Jews, the freedom of the gospel. We give thanks for Martin Luther, who led the church out of the deep pit of work righteousness to rediscover Jesus' Reformation words and where were to be the church's life and salvation. We give thanks to God that has prepared to preserve those Reformation words for us to hear today. May we also remember who in our life and salvation and center life this congregation is based around. always seeking to reform his church now and forever. May the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.